Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 8. In verse 14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Led by the Spirit of God, that's a direct reference to John 16:13, where the Spirit of truth guides us in all truth. And of course, truth in John 17:17 is the Word of God. So as many as are led by the Spirit of God in the Word of God, as many as have the Word of God become the governing principle in their life, they are the sons of God. For you did not receive, get this, you did not receive a spirit of bondage. So many Christians are in some form of bondage. You did not receive a spirit of bondage. The word bondage is douleia, and it means slavery, bondage, or the condition of a slave. You did not receive the spirit of a condition of a slave to fear. Many people fear. Many Christians fear. But you didn't receive this from God. You did not receive this spirit of fear from God. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, you did not receive a spirit of fear, but you received a spirit of a sound mind and of power and of love. You did not receive a spirit of fear. So how do I get rid of a spirit of fear? What is the opposite of a spirit of fear? The opposite of a spirit of fear is love, power, and a sound mind. Now, fear is the enemy of faith. Love is the enemy of fear. In other words, what is it that obstructs people from living by faith? We live by faith. That's our righteousness in Romans 3:22. We live by faith. Yet somehow people find this very difficult. Living by faith is obstructed when we live in fear, yet it's not simply fear to respond. We cannot think of it in such shallow, superficial terms. Yes, people may be afraid to respond. Let's say that somebody's called to a mission field and all of a sudden they become very afraid to go on the mission field. That is one type of fear. But that's really not the great fear that people deal with. The fear that people deal with is an internal fear whereby they don't trust. And as a result of not trusting, they always find themselves in a self-defense mode. What's wrong with a self-defense mode? The problem is that if you seek to save your life, you lose it. So self-defense mode is actually something that Satan wants to bring us into to rob us of our life. We do not enter a self-defense mode if we know that we are loved. Nobody is afraid of patience and kindness. People are afraid of the opposite. People are afraid of impatience and people are afraid of unkindness because those things have torment. But if I'm oriented to patience and kindness, that deals with my fear, that deals with the paralyzing factor that takes place in people's lives. How many people are afraid to go on outreach because either they're afraid they won't know what to say, but I think more commonly they're afraid of what people will think of them. They don't want to look foolish. And indeed, they might look foolish to the worldly lost crowd that's going to hell when they die. But what did Paul say? I've become a fool for the gospel. Why? Because he knew he is loved. The world may consider me a fool, but God will call it wisdom. Never be afraid. Never be afraid. I'm not going to specify what you're afraid of. just generally, never be afraid. You are loved by God. You did not receive a spirit of bondage to fear. You received a spirit of adoption as the sons and the daughters of God. If my Father is the great King, and He certainly is, what is there for me to be afraid of? But people are afraid, and sometimes people are afraid that if they make a mistake, that God will be somehow displeased with them. If they sin, that God will punish them. If they sin, that God will no longer be accessible to them, and that's one of the great fears. You might break fellowship, but it's not because God would break the fellowship with you. It's because you basically turned around and put your gaze elsewhere. And now instead of standing face to face with Him, you might be standing next to Him with your back turned toward Him. That's the picture. And so God is very good at tapping people on the shoulder to get them to turn back around again. But nobody will ever be rejected by God because of something like sin. The blood has already been shed. Christ has already been to the cross. The work is finished. Nobody can be rejected for any reason whatsoever. The reason why some people go to hell is because they never exercise a moment of faith toward God. If I fear, then I become paralyzed. We don't often think of it as fear. Sometimes we'll say, well, it's insecurity. Sometimes it becomes undefined in our lives, and we say, why am I like this? And we don't even know why we're like it, but the problem actually is fear. Now, fear itself is the result of a lack of love. If I do not draw near to the love of God, the result will be fear. If I do not draw near to the Word of God, the result will be fear. This is why so many people who lack the Word of God or who lack the love of God have such upheaval in their own lives. There is fear. In 1 John 4:17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Boldness means to speak frankly. It's not that I'm walking around with my chest puffed up. No, it's that I'm speaking frankly in the day of judgment. Judgment is the word krisis, and it's talking about trials. So when I encounter a trial, I speak frankly to God. And in this, my love becomes mature. Remember, the trial is not the problem. The trial is a provision to get to know the love of God in Romans 5, 3-5. So God will bring trials into my life, and if I know at this point that I am loved, if the love of God is shed abroad in my heart, then I will be very frank with God about my trial. God, I think my trial is the pits. I don't like my trial. And God says, I understand. God is not upset at our frankness. God is not upset at anything about us. He already knows it. Don't hesitate to let Him know it. He wants you to fellowship with Him. You see, we don't think of it this way. Fellowshipping with God sometimes means that I'm pouring my heart out to Him with whatever concern I have. That's one of the hallmarks of being loved. Don't ever be afraid to come to God. Don't ever be afraid that God is going to be angry with you. Don't ever be even afraid to hurt the love of God, even though you do not want to break fellowship with God. There was a guy. This guy was an ordinary young guy who got into some trouble. He was a normal guy who started making very stupid decisions. But he had a great family life. His parents were wonderful people. And he knew that he was deeply loved by his dad. And he was very concerned about ever doing anything to disappoint his dad or to hurt the love that his dad had for him. Because the love that his father had for him was very profound, and this guy knew it. But he made some very dumb choices. And he got lured into drug trafficking. And he went down to Colombia at the promise of $50,000 to carry some drugs for a cartel to Europe. And when he was in Colombia, he got caught. And he ended up in a Colombian jail. A Colombian jail is not something anyone ever wants to get caught in. And the guy's father was a very well-known, very successful lawyer. He was so concerned about not hurting his father's love. He was so concerned about his father not thinking of him in terms of his mistakes that he didn't want to tell his dad when he got in trouble. And finally he gave in and he told his dad, and his dad said to him, "I'm going to get you out. I'm on top of this." And his dad got in touch with some people in Colombia through various channels that, as a successful lawyer, I guess he had access to. And he got on the best lawyer in Colombia. Now, the judge had decided that he was going to make an example of this kid and give him 25 years in prison, which was the maximum he could give him. He was a young guy. The judge was going to destroy this kid's life, possibly even get this kid killed. And the lawyer got him from 25 years to 4.5 years. The kid did have to spend 4.5 years. Yeah, there is consequence to sin. But it saved the kid's life. He went to his dad because his dad loved him. And because his dad loved him, he didn't berate him. He didn't criticize him. He didn't judge him. He didn't get angry at him. He didn't say, "You're an idiot." He helped him. But the kid initially was afraid because, in truth, while he appreciated his dad's love, he didn't know the depth of his dad's love. He didn't realize that even though he could completely disappoint, or at least do something that he felt would disappoint his dad couldn't be disappointed because his dad loved him. And so the guy got in trouble and his dad helped him out. He didn't ask him for a penny in return. He just put out what it took and he helped his son. God is like that. We don't have to fear God. We don't have to live in any form of fear regarding anything, because God loves us. This is not a trivial thing. It has become a bumper sticker cliche, yet it is the most profound truth in existence beyond the universe, in fact, in all of eternity, that God loves. God loves. We have a trial and we speak very frankly and very boldly. We conduct ourselves with confidence because God loves. Then in verse 18 of 1 John 4, there is no fear in love, but perfect love, that is to say mature love, casts out fear because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect or not made mature in the love of God. He has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. The fruit of the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5:22 is love. Some people will say, well, there's different manifestations of the Holy Spirit, and sometimes they'll say the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is in your gifts, like tongues is a popular one, or the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is in the success that you have, or any number of things. Some people want to have this very emotionalized manifestation of the Holy Spirit. None of those things have anything to do with the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. Where there is love, you have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's that simple. If the Holy Spirit resides in you and is not grieved or quenched, then love will be the manifestation. Some people go through some absolutely horrendous thing, and yet love emanates from these people. Years ago, I got to meet Richard Wurmbrand. He was a remarkable guy. And his wife was there also, and she was an absolutely remarkable lady. Both of them spent many years in prison under the communists in Romania because they were Christians. Richard Wurmbrand was a well-known, world-famous preacher in the 30s when he was arrested by the communists later on. But the Nazis weren't all too happy with him either. The communists stuck him in jail. He was tortured for 14 years. One of the types of torture, and there were numerous different types of torture, but one of the types of torture is that they would beat their feet. The feet are very sensitive, and they would beat their feet. His feet were so badly beaten that when he got out of jail, he could never wear shoes again. He wore bandages on his feet rather than shoes. Yet the man had this incredible expression of the love of God. There was no bitterness in this man. There was no anger. There was no resentment. There was no political animosity. As a matter of fact, he said while he was in jail, he had his greatest ministry ever. He was in a room for people who were dying, usually of tuberculosis, but it was of other things. Nobody ever came out of this room. He was the only prisoner to ever walk out of that room alive. And while he was there, countless people got saved. He said he won so many people to Christ while he was in prison. Then, later, they took him away from the common criminals. When they reorganized their prison system, they put all of the pastors in prison together, and he said it was pure hell. Because there was so much doctrinal infighting. Why? There was no love. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And they were so worried about their doctrinal differences in prison that even under those circumstances, isn't that the deceptive nature of the pride of humanity? In prison, they were still fighting over doctrinal differences. The fact is that there was not a single disciple among those people doing the bickering. Why? Because in John 13:35, by this men will know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another. But instead they had all this animosity because of doctrinal differences. I don't give a rip what your doctrine says. I'm interested in, do you have the fruit of the Holy Spirit and do you love God? Those are my only two questions. Do you love God and do you have the fruit of the Holy Spirit? If you do, I don't care what denomination you are of, you're perfectly fine in God's book. Do you love God? It's right there. Do you love God? And if you love God, it's a pretty good bet you're going to have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Because the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. Here's what happens. Luke 11:34. It says, if your eye is single, the whole body is full of light. But if your eye is evil, the whole body is full of darkness. When a person starts to look at themselves through self-consciousness, which is born at the tree of knowledge of good and evil, their body will become full of darkness. But if a person keeps their gaze through the Word of God in their frame of reference on the Savior, everything about their life will be full of life. They will manifest the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But if I'm full of darkness, then everything about my life is going to be some form of fear and dealing with that fear. I might try to hide. I might try to defend myself. I might come up with this exterior that's belligerent and brassy because I'm trying to defend something. Or I might keep trying to run away and become very timid because I'm trying to defend something. That's a person who is filled with fear. There is no fear in love. You run to the love of God. You run to the love of God. In all things, run to the love of God. Let that be your first response. Run to the love of God. You had a good day today. Run to the love of God because you're going to need it for the rest of the day. You had a bad day today. Run to the love of God. You fell totally on your face today and blew it. Run to the love of God. You hurt 50 people today. Run to the love of God. You shot somebody and now you're in jail. Run to the love of God. You will always find acceptance and forgiveness and mercy and kindness at the love of God. In 1 John 4:1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. How do you know who to trust? How do you know who to believe? How do you know where to go? Whatever. Test the spirits. How do you know if the Spirit is of God? It'll have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, in other words, a spirit that is of God will do two things. Number one, it will testify that Jesus is the Son of God. Number two, it will be filled with the love of God. If you have those two things, you have the right spirit. There may be multiple manifestations of those two things, but those are the two fundamental things. Jesus is the Son of God, and I have the love of God. There are spirits that are not of God. They will manifest themselves also. In Revelation 12:10, Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Spirits that are accusatory are not of God. They are demonic spirits. The Word of God says that love covers a multitude of sins. Spirits that would reflect on or reveal people's failures, they are demonic spirits. Spirits that give negative reports in James 4:11, these are demonic spirits. There is no love in those. There is only a demonic influence in those. There is really the ministry of the devil in those. Legalism is a form of accusation. People don't think of it that way, but it is. If I live by the law, then what am I doing? I'm constantly dealing with accusation. Because the law will become my accuser. This is where you fall short. And then when I finally manage to get my ducks in a row and some area of my life, the law no longer accuses me, what am I going to do? I'm going to accuse somebody else. Because then it'll lead me to self-righteousness. So I'm always in this accusation place. Well, the throne of iniquity does work mischief by the law in Psalm 94:20. In Luke 6 and verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What is your spirit? Test the spirits. What is your spirit? What is the spirit of the person you're talking to? What kind of a spirit is in the church? Test the spirits. Fruit is when the love of God comes forth. Fruit is not in the production. Fruit is not in the number of people. Fruit is not in the wealth. Fruit is not in ease. Fruit is found where the love of God is. How do I get to the point of fruit? Well, John 15 verse 5 says, if the love of God abides in me, and I abide in the word of God, then I will bear much fruit. What will I have? I will have an abundant manifestation of the love of God. Satan attacks this all the time. His number one priority is to keep us away from the love of God. Two things he attacks, word of God and love of God, and the motive and the outcome is the same. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 4, when Satan challenged Eve about the prohibition against the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and the woman answered him and said, we're going to die if we eat from it, because in Genesis 2:17, God told them that would happen. That was God's definition. It was provision for them, because the tree of knowledge of good and evil is Satan's tree. And serpent says to the woman, you will not surely die. What is he doing? He's attacking the word of God. Then in verse 5, he says, God knows in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like gods, plural, not singular, as is in the New King James. It's actually plural, the word Elohim. It doesn't refer to the Trinity. It refers to angels. Elohim is angels as well as the Trinity here. It's referring to angels. Knowing good from evil. Satan attacks the word of God because without it, the spirit of God cannot guide you in all truth. He attacks the love of God because faith works by love, and without love, you cannot function in faith in Galatians 5, 6 in the B part, and it will separate you from God in Hebrews 11, 6. So Satan will always attack those two things. He will attack the love of God. He'll attack the word of God. He wants you to stay away from both of them. In Hebrews 10, we gather together much more as we see the day approaching. Why? It's a kingdom issue. By the way, love is a kingdom issue. It's not just a personal issue. It's a kingdom issue. Much of the atmospheric demonic versus angel warfare is about the love of God. In Romans 5:2, we have access by faith into grace. Faith works by love. It's energized. Energization comes from love. Well, if I come into the grace by faith, I need love to give life to my faith, and then it will take me to the throne of grace in Hebrews 4:16, and that's where I find my provision for all my needs. That spirit of fear is devastating. It robs us of everything. Yet God has nothing in his character other than pure love. In John 3:16, God says, in this way, God loved the world. And then he did what? He gave them a lot of money? No. He took away wars? No. He took away illnesses? No. He did far beyond that. He gave his only begotten Son for our salvation. That was the manifestation of this mind-boggling love that God has. Think about something. Let this sink in. The one who created the universe, the one who has all knowledge and power, does everything that he does because he loves you. Let that sink in. He loves you. He'll never think evil of you. Love thinks no evil. He'll never be impatient with you. Love is patient. He'll never be unkind toward you. Love is kind. He's never going to put himself ahead of you. Love doesn't seek its own way. He loves you. He's able to do absolutely everything. He loves you. It's a personal thing. It's a kingdom thing. It's a life thing. He loves you. Satan will attack it, but he loves you. What do we do when Satan attacks it? In other words, what do we do when we are in fear? Because we fear as a result of Satan's attacks against love. Now, those things are not pie in the sky. They have a very practical manifestation. How does Satan attack the love of God? Often through other people. Often through overwhelming circumstances. Projections directly to our mind. Christians who do not love, and all of a sudden, people who do not know the love of God say, well, Christians don't have the love of God. Or they represent Christ, obviously Christ doesn't love. Certainly those are lies, but that's how they get there. This is the warfare. Never become occupied or somehow obsessed with, or perhaps maybe thrown for a loop, because of the voice box that Satan decides to use. We're either a voice box for God or we're a voice box for the devil, but we are voice boxes. We're voice boxes with feet. We are either a voice box for God or we are a voice box for the enemy. Don't ever be taken aback or distracted by the voice box. In 2 Corinthians 10:3, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty. That means the carnal weapons are not mighty. When we're dealing with the kingdom of God, things like tanks and guns and bombs, they are not mighty. Those are not the power weapons. The power weapons are spiritual. The power weapons are the Word of God. The power weapons are the blood of Christ. The power weapons are prayer. The power weapons are the mercy of God. These are the power weapons. And so, we do not occupy ourselves with the carnal. We occupy ourselves with that which is mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And then it continues. This is the practical application. We cast down the imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, above the Word of God. And we bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Casting down the imaginations and high things that exalt themselves above the knowledge of God. What accusation did you receive either against God or yourself? What did you receive that challenges you against the love of God? What did you receive that makes you think that the love of God will not be faithful to you? What did you receive that causes you to fear? Why did you receive it? You don't receive it. Usually people receive it either because they see themselves as not having the ability to deal with it or because of the voice box that Satan decides to use. Well, I know that person. Maybe they're important to you. Maybe they have some kind of authority in your life. It's still just a voice box. And so people will accept fear. They will accept the accusations against the love of God. They will accept accusations against mercy. They will accept accusations against their value to God because of the voice box or the circumstance. But Paul is saying, do not do that. Cast down the imaginations and high things. Throw them away from you. Get away from them. In Romans 16:17, when somebody is willing to be a voice box for the enemy, mark them and avoid them. You get away from them. And then, revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. What does that mean? In John 13:34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Therein is my obedience. I don't look at the voice box. I don't look at the circumstance. I don't look at the enemy. I don't look at the accusation. I don't accept the fear. I enter into the love of God. I draw near to the love of God, 1 John 4:8. And when I draw near to the love of God draws near to me. How do I draw near to the love of God? You see, we say these things and we think they are vague because we don't know how to apply them. How do I draw near to the love of God? Well, it starts with the Word of God. The one who is love became flesh. His name is Word of God. If you are not disciplined and consistent in receiving the Word of God on a daily basis, you are running away from the love of God by default. You are running to fear by default. Whichever dog you feed is going to be the strongest. If you receive the Word of God and feed the Spirit, that will be stronger than the flesh. If you run from the Word of God, if you do not receive it, then you are feeding the flesh, and the flesh will be stronger than the Spirit. You run to the Word of God. You gaze at Christ. In Numbers 21:8-9, the energization of your faith through the Word of God will be manifested in a gaze at Christ. That's what will give you life. In Jude 21, you keep yourself in the love of God by looking for mercy. What is mercy? It's the patience of God. And the patience of God is always attached to the kindness of God. Where there is mercy, there cannot be negativity or accusation. They are diametrically opposed to each other. One eliminates the other. So you run to mercy. And all forms of negativity, all forms of fear, all forms of self-orientation or self-consciousness, it's all eliminated in mercy. And it will keep you in the love of God. The heart of God is found in His mercy. The expression of God is found in His kindness. So you look for mercy. What is mercy? Mercy is simply the practical expression of God's patience. It's not hard to keep yourself in the love of God. You go to His Word, you gaze at Christ, let Him produce the cross in your life, which is the doorway into life, and you look for His mercy. You keep this going in your life, you'll never leave the love of God. You'll never be afraid, and if you fear, you will quickly be able to correct it. You'll never doubt, and if you doubt, you will quickly be able to correct it. You'll get to know Him, you'll get to know His character. You'll develop your relationship. And He develops His character in you. You'll have every provision that you need in the love of God. Fear goes away where love is present. In verse 16 of 1 John 4, we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he that abides in love abides in God. And God abides in him. I draw near to the mercy of God. I draw near to the love of God. And I draw near to the cross. Don't neglect those things. Those are the provisions that God gives us for what? Love, power, and a sound mind. In other words, for the experience that love is, for the power it gives, and for the right thinking that it produces. Amen? If you've never asked Christ to be your Savior, if you don't know that you're going to go to heaven when you die, tell Him that you will receive the gift that He's given you, His mercy, and that He has taken your sins away from you. And pray in your heart, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Savior. I accept your gift of mercy and what you have done on the cross. Save my soul. Take me to heaven when I die. And give me a relationship with you now as you come into my heart and live.